While that's loading up, I know quite a few of you in the room, and many of you may not know, I changed locations. I was at Mississippi State University for the last 11 years, and now I am back at Texas Tech University as the director of the Cotton Economics Research Institute. I want to first sort of blame everybody else up here for what's going to be presented today. Actually not. Sue and Pan is a research scientist within our institute and contributed heavily to this paper, as well as Don Etheridge, who many of you know is a professor emeritus, Maria Matuk, and Mohamedou Fadiga. A little bit of background about this. Mickey sort of alluded to this program that I'm going to be talking about that was instituted in the Farm Bill. But a little bit of background, most of you know, we had the Brazil WTO case where the complaint levied against, among other things, the Step 2 program, a charge that it was an illegal export subsidy. And as all of you know, the Step 2 program paid a fixed amount to both domestic users and exporters of cotton. That was subsequently found to be in violation of our commitment under the WTO, which led to the removal of the Step 2 program, and some concern at that point that what that would lead to is some lost access for U.S. textile mills to competitively price cotton. So under the new Farm Bill, we developed this program called the Textile Economic Adjustment Assistance Program, and it provides 4 cents a pound payment to domestic users for all cotton consumed by U.S. mills. And I underlined and bolded and everything else, all, because that is the element that in, and I say in quotations, in theory, should insulate this program from challenge under the WTO. Because this program does not discriminate between imported or domestically used cotton. It's just a consumption subsidy. And I say in theory because we all know that sometimes what we expect to happen under the WTO is not necessarily what does happen. So one of the questions that we had then is that given that this program was implemented in hopes to keep U.S. or cotton competitively priced for U.S. mills and hopefully not lead to a further deterioration of textile processing in the U.S., we wanted to know what would be the impact or the expected impact of the TEA program on U.S. and global cotton markets. And I say the global cotton markets because fairly quickly after this program was implemented, it was already being referred to by some groups as Step 2 Light. And so we decided we wanted to head this off a little bit and try to figure out what would be the impact not only domestically but in global cotton markets so that we would have that information available to us as we went forward in time. I'm not going to belabor this this point here. It's a technical issue. The Institute, Cotton Economics Research Institute, utilizes a world fiber model that was developed within the Institute and is used to project baseline prices, supply use, both domestically and internationally for cotton in conjunction with FAPRI. And so this visual depiction gives you a little bit of an idea of the complexity of that model. It's looking at not only cotton, but it's looking at wool use and man-made fiber use and all of the characteristics that feed into those, and as well as the production sector, cotton production sector, and is heavily driven off this thing that we all know, the A index, so the world price of cotton. So I won't belabor that, but that is the way that we go about analyzing a lot of these problems is we project out over a period, some period of time, what we expect the world market to look like under a certain set of conditions. And so what we did here was simulate what the world, U.S. and world markets would look like under a situation with no textile economic adjustment Adjustment Assistance, but with all the other programs in place, versus a world where textile economic adjustment assistance is implemented. Just a word of, by way of letting you know, sort of truth in lending here, one of the assumptions that we made is that all U.S. farmers implemented or operated under the existing CCP program as opposed to the ACRE program for a variety of reasons, but most analyses indicate ACRE's not particularly beneficial to U.S. cotton producers. What we did is we simulated the baseline projection over the 08-09 period through 2012-2013 with and without TEAA. And then, again, we resimulate that baseline with a TEA in place and make that comparison as to what are the impacts on U.S., these key indicators in the U.S. and as well as globally. There are tables in the paper with all of the output, you know, of that simulation, which is incredibly difficult to see up on a screen. So what I'm going to do is focus on a few key points here, but there's more information in the paper if you wish to look at it. So what we have here is the cotton farm price, or the U.S. cotton farm price, with and without TEA. The baseline represents without the TEA in place, and then the second column represents with the TEA in place. And what you see is we're projecting out, and these are based on November projections. We've probably now adjusted that down and probably will continue to adjust that down at least as new macroeconomic data come in. But if you look at, for example, in 2008-2009, we're projecting a U.S. farm price of 50.6 cents per pound. Under TEAA, we're projecting a 50.7 cents per pound. And that relationship is fairly consistent through the period that we're projecting here. So on average, what we're looking at is an increase of about 0.24% in the farm price as a result of TEAA. As you can imagine, that's not a dramatic increase in U.S. farm price, looking at those numbers. And this is a consistent story that we get all the way through this, and I'll come back to a couple of key points on this modeling exercise in a moment. But if we look at mill use, U.S. mill use, we see the same general relationship. We see a slight increase in mill use of cotton, about 4.44% over the time period is the average. A key feature here, and I'll come back to this in a moment, but a key feature here is that under both scenarios, we continue to see declines in U.S. mill use over this time period. What the TEAA does is slow the decline in mill use some, okay? Not a lot, but it does slow the decline some. One thing that I would like to point out, and I'll come back to this again in a minute at the end, but one thing I would like to point out is in a modeling exercise like this, what we're doing is projecting under current conditions. Part of what TEA is about is taking that 4 cents per pound and reinvesting it into the textile sector. Our model does not account for any expansion in capacity, any increases in efficiency, or any of those things that might be associated with reinvestment. So, you know, we can view this as sort of a lower bound effect of TEAA. It may have an actually a slightly larger impact, but we wouldn't expect it to be a huge impact, even if you account for potential increases in efficiency or in investment. In terms of the world price, this is one I think is key in terms of dealing with our trading partners on this policy, is that TEAA has essentially no impact on global prices. In fact, it has an average increase of 0.02% based on our projections, which, you know, for all intents and purposes is zero. So unlike the old Step 2 program that was under such harsh criticism, the TEAA does not decrease and apparently potentially increases world price because it increases consumption and drawdown in stocks, which, as we heard this morning from Ed and Mickey, those are some fairly critical variables here right now. Demand is falling way off, stocks are building, so anything that draws down on stocks is probably going to enhance world price. A couple of other key results here is that, as you might expect, if we increase U.S. meal use, we're going to decrease U.S. exports. But again, because of the magnitudes, these are pretty small, 0.12% per year average. It does tend to enhance drawdown of U.S. stocks slightly, but has almost no impact on U.S. production. And again, most of this has to do with the fact that the magnitudes of these effects are just very, very small in percentage terms. So, while the TEAA does seem to slow the rate of decline in U.S. meal use, it probably is not going to increase the size of U.S. meal use in the foreseeable future. The impacts are small relative to cotton price, exports, and meal use. So the program, while it does what it's supposed to do, and it's doing it on the margin, and again, just to reiterate, our model assumes structure remains constant, and that's not necessarily the case. We're not allowing for any changes in structure that may result from capital investment. But again, I think we all know that we would anticipate those effects to be small as well. So what we're seeing here is a small positive impact from TEAA, and probably this would be the lower bound idea of what might happen over the next several years. But again, the issues, the overriding issues of the macroeconomy are far outstripping any concerns about what impact a 4 cent per pound subsidy might have on meal use. So I think we're more worried about demand than are worried about the TEAA. With that, I will stop and turn it over, and we'll keep us on time today. All right.
Thank you.